draft committee substitute, incorporating the suggestion from the Alaska chapter of the National Association of Social Work. Changes are in Article 3, page 5, license required for use of title. The section now reads that person may not use the title social worker unless licensed under the chapter or the designation LDSW or LMSW representing licensed bachelor social worker or licensed master social worker. The original section pertained also to the practice of social work, and there was some concern that the original language would have infringed on the practices of other professions, such as counselors, outreach workers, and advocates. Section 7, at pages 9 and 10, in the new language, the section would grandfather anyone practicing social work for 2 consecutive years before the bill was enacted, if other requirements are met, listed are met, and if they apply for licensure by July 1987. We have some witnesses to be heard. Shanna Herman. Shanna.
My name is Shanna Herman. I'm a master's of social work here at Charter. For the past 10 years, I've been providing social services in a variety of settings. I started out as a caseworker.
Can you see the committee substitute? to Matt.
Mr. Swartz.
Swartz, excuse me.
I was sent out a homework for 3 years on the employer on the structural contract. And no, I've been a social worker for 11 years prior to coming to Alaska 4 years ago. I was involved working in a variety of mental health settings. So I work as a state employee outside of child protective services. There is a difference between who was in services and service delivery, between those from my peers who had, let's say, a bachelor's degree and those who didn't have maybe a degree in history. And I was able to see the differences. I have, in Alaska, I've worked as a therapist at mental health centers, and I've been the founding director of the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Program. I am working in Millville presently, and I've been flying up to villages, doing a lot of training. I've been asking for training of social service people, district attorneys, corrections people, dealing with child sexual assault. Since I have been working with people, both in the private and public sectors, I'm able to see the differences. Clients come to me and will talk to me about certain things. I share John Horman's concern about the expectation level that they are given in terms of the qualifications, the minimal qualifications, what skills they have learned. Often when we hear with a social worker, we expect that they can get certain qualifications, certain minimal levels of qualifications in doing what they do. Often that's not the case. And sometimes when I have to do agency coordination, I sit and we'll work with the district attorney's office, or we'll work with this concept assault program, corrections, where a loophole comes up in some individual cases. Let's say with a 9-year-old girl that's been sexually abused by her stepfather, there's a loophole, and we'll look to see where it is. And sometimes it's so-and-so did not have some training. And I'm not necessarily talking about the training in child sexual assault, but I'm using that as an example. There's some basic processes that go that are much broader in scope that have ramifications for the whole community, never mind the family that the child lives in, and the child and herself. And, a lot of times people ask to diagnose, to treat, and the client is expecting that person to be able to do that. And sometimes people don't know the differences between assessment and treatment. And it can get real, real complicated, especially in the rural areas. I'm most familiar with what's happening in the rural areas of the state, since that's where I've been personally involved in the last 3 years. And I'm real concerned that there's about the lack of licensure right now, and that the quality control needs to be, and not just we need quantity, we need quality control, because I think we're victimizing, hurting the clients, more than we're helping them, meet some of their expectations, and that's basically we disappoint the deal.
So, what I think you're getting on some of the speed here, but I think you and the previous witness are saying is the concerns about the whole layout problem related to the existing status quo, and not to apprehensions about the language of the community substitute. The language of the community substitute. You're talking
about
what you're concerned about is the last one we look at today.
Yes, that we need to have some sort of a committee board, that is able to say, in terms of some licensure, and have to see the person with minimal qualifications. And it's good to see the picture.
I'd like to do that for politicians.
Personal protection, I think, and even with, with public money's involved, and it was private money's involved, insurance companies, the ramifications go on and on.
There are real insurance ramifications. No license, no coverage.
In many communities in the state, a multitude of communities, there's no one except a social worker or someone that's says that they're a social worker, a helping person, and they're being asked, when there's only one person, let's say, help aid in a village, they're being asked to provide, I was called last week by someone saying, Carol, you send information out, there's a child that's suicidal in a village, can you send information out to services to the child. Well, quite concerned about the expectations on his health care, for instance, as well as the suicidal teenager. That child would see the village health aide, someone that could help him. More harm than he could have heard.
Also,
whatever he's doing. Well, because he put five people on, and he could put either two masters on or three masters or...
Oh, okay. No, that would make a little more... The suggestion of the chairman, which I like, where the governor has some flexibility, I would do it as opposed to that. So maybe he can put two masters and two classrooms. I would put him out of masters in that part. Not the way the chairman,
if you have a minimum of one master or something, but you have the flexibility to put on two, there would be at least two masters.
Concerned if people put a bachelor person and a master's person in the same expectations of both people. And there is a master's level person has definitely had more work experience, not just the book experience, has worked anywhere from 10 to 20 hours a week, depending on what school the person has come from, in addition to the book learning for 9 months per year, 2 years, doing internship under clinical supervision. And so a master's level person definitely does have.
Should I?
Has had more experience, whether or not as a result, I think they're saying that definitely. That, I mean, they've had the experience because they received their degree, they had to partake in their experience, whether or not the field supervisor thought of being good, that's up to the right here.
No, I guess my concern is. Just like a teacher, you have a teacher that has the same experience 10 times versus one who really, in 10 years, did something. So that's my real concern. I was surprised to hear that there may be more masters than bachelors in the field.
It's, historically, the nationwide, the bachelor's level program is just maybe, started 10 years ago nationwide. And the Northwest has just started being offered in schools in the last 5 years. When I received my master's degree, there wasn't a master's level. I mean, as an undergraduate, you went into sociology or psychology, and then you went for a master's degree in social work.
New York School of Social Work.
Yeah, but years ago, it's relatively a recent development that there is bachelor level programs. Nationwide. That's why Alaska. So Alaska is very fortunate to have bachelor's level programs, and I understand it does.
Senator Musk has a question.
I don't know. Okay. I sure have to do it with the board. A disciplinary action, for example. If you have a member, for example, that's a disciplinary action, you would prefer to have that board predominantly members of your own group or your peers, right?
No.
Then maybe you should have all public members rather than any.
I don't think all my personal bias in anything, all of anything. Real good. That's why I'm comfortable.
Why would you say predominantly your peers rather than, in other words, three of your peers and two of the public, perhaps in this case? Yeah, I'm asking this question for a particular reason. If you're not disciplining your members, would you prefer more of your own peers on the board or more of the public?
Yes. my personal opinion on that is that I am more comfortable being sanctioned, being disciplined by a peer than maybe someone who's not aware of all the issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I'm going to go over.
Senator, I know you're talking about that.
Yeah, that's all I'm here.
But they do acknowledge public members.
I'm just going to know if you're more comfortable as long as you have a majority of your own peers who know and understand your problem.
For sure, but I think a public member can see things that other people can miss sometimes.
Perhaps.
And so that's why I think it's important to have those more public
members. I wish you'd been in my box this morning.
I don't know.
From a public protection point of view.
That's why.
Who decision that would not protect the public.
That's a hard one because I don't think there should be any one person that should have that power, per se, to do that. And that's why I like the idea of a group of people that should be representation from different viewpoints on that board. It's hard for me to get my mind working into the answer question really. There's just one person kind of identified with responsibility.
No, I was just trying to say, generally, if you had a board, you know, it would really be the fairest, and it would really be out there looking for the public more so than the profession.
I think a mixture of a public and a professional board. I mean, a public member is someone who, so a public member who may see maybe a process, some individual process that needs to happen. Maybe the professional member on the board can provide some of the content, sort of like you asked me about the bachelor level program. Maybe a layperson doesn't know that it's only recent development in the last several years that their bachelor level programs begin with. And so that's why the mixture is so good.
So the bachelor level
can provide both content and a process. I mean, it's a real good merging of two very important things.
Continuation until June 30th of 1989. Under another section in the statutes, it only allows 4 years continuation of Green Bill, and that's based on continuation of reestablishment. That's under 08-03-02-02. And that includes the initial term of the board of the future creation of the board. That just means that it's not about a renewal of the board. That the wording is allows only 4 years unless continued or reestablished. So I would assume that new boards can only be in effect for 4 years.
What is the section?
08-03-02-C.
And you're going back to the philosophy of this, that what you're saying is that it's okay to license social workers, but that the licensure should be handled by someone consistent on your agency.
Well, sir, the bill itself refers on a number of occasions to a national organization. And based on that, we're assuming that the bill is written for the protection of the public. The makeup of the board appears to be in the interest of the profession. The same bill is written to find almost identical to the regulation for psychology. Discipline and evaluation by people who are not licensed in that profession. sponsor the bill, that if I came in here with a bill to say that the medical association discipline would be handled now by non-doctors, I think there would be a tremendous hue and cry that many people are not qualified to judge the professional ethical work of physician. And I think the argument is almost the same here.
I might submit to you that when we, as a regulating agency, do an investigation on our doctors, we can't use the exact members of that board for the expertise during the cost of the investigation to evaluate the medical treatment that was administered. We go outside and we under contract hire a physician. And I propose that as an example.
Yes, but then the information is brought back and the board makes a decision, doesn't it?
That's correct.
That's only saying that you can't be a witness and a judge in the same case at the same
time.
Okay, now, one more thing. Is this, I don't see your, I can even restatement here, but I recall your testimony. Is your statement part of a philosophy within the administration against proliferating boards and commissions for reasons of cost? Is that part of this here? The legislature has a tendency to put in boards and commissions and they all cost money.
That is part of the administration's position. In fact, they are the governor's office at the present time is doing an expensive project on consolidating with all the boards and commissions.
I talked to Ms. Drucker about that. I think we disagree with this. If we were not to proliferate boards and commissioners, but we were to license social workers, what would happen if a social worker, you have an alternative that you want to preserve as to how that would work, who you would apply to for a license, and who would review your continuing qualifications or discipline?
Well, I believe the bill itself makes reference to credit the agency. I say Council on Social Organization, which is a federally accepted agency that evaluates the programs. Based on one submitted a degree and this criteria accepted from those groups of folks back to Council on Social Work Education. Again, I'm not also in tune that additional state testing has anything with professions for licensing.
Okay. So the alternative would be to say that if you present yourself to the Department of Commerce, remove your credits from the credit of social work school, and perhaps some type of experience factor that could be done by regulation, then you could call yourself a social worker. That's about what it is.
Well, I think based on the author of the bill's position on what is the requirements of a social worker, I think that's what you
would have to do.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions, Mr.
Chairman? I'd like to make a suggestion, and that has to do with Section 140, page 5, line 16 to 23, and it has to do with the fee structure. I'm concerned about having a fee structure forced into the statute. The issue has come up before a number of finance subcommittees at which I sit. Making sure that those regulated fully cover the cost of regulation. I don't know how many social workers there will be and how this relates, the fee schedule relates to the actual or anticipated cost of administering, in effect, administering this act, or the licensing portion of this act, whether it's been. But it seems to me that we should. It may be more appropriate to provide that the schedule of
licensing process does not essentially put a burden upon the public, upon the general fund. This is something that we've been discussing it with the Department of Commerce in terms of applying to everything from APUC to the various professional boards. We're discussing this with the Department of Labor in regard to workman's comp, and it's a principle that I think we ought to try and apply it so far as we can, that essentially user fees cover the cost of the use. In this case, the license fees cover the cost of licensing.
Social workers and non-homes need number. At 136 over half the fiscal year, over $106,000, the per person cost of that would be between $4,000 a year. Which may not be, I think that's high.
It may be high, but if the profession
these are four-year licenses, so that we would be going for, we would be making this on an annual basis, so that instead of paying $100 for a four-year license, you'd be paying $415 for a one-year license.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that if this is that important, it probably would be worth it. Or we reduce the cost. I'm not sure why it should cost only $30,000 a year to administer this. I can't put the amount of fiscal bill at this point.
And I guess I was kind of confused in my mind. The license renewal we're even going to $200 a year. When you look at the application, even if you haven't paid that fee every year, I even figured in license. Foundation is still can't come up with $70,000. It's going to be going in red. I guess I share that Senator Fisher's concept that ship pays on the way, so, but it's going to be subsidized with at least 50% under the best case you can come up with cost under these fees that are coming
out. I think it's a really interesting concept and where it's coming into. I have some, I'm not sure I support the philosophy of it. Because I think if a group comes in and says, we are professionals, we're ethical professionals, we want to protect the public, and if that's a genuine motive, I'm sure they're open to it, that's not a genuine motive. I don't know that they should be, what's the word? Can't think of a phrase, but I think it's almost punitive. And if there's a broad societal interest and a broad protection involved, I don't know why the public should be protected.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to review this beforehand, but looking at the fiscal note, it raises a question to me about, is all this really necessary to achieve the basic purposes of this legislation? Does the board have to meet four times a year? Do we have a second proposition that we can do it? We really need one full-time license examiner and a small number of people. We need a full-time clerk for this number of people, and so on and so forth. I think it might be worth really looking at just $20,000 worth of legal fees. There's a lot of fuss involved. Maybe part of the answer might be to come back and review the fiscal vote and see if we can't cut that way back to the length of fees to reduce fiscal vote.
Mr. Chairman, I have a problem with this question. Trying to collect that money on the licensing and order of code and operation costs. Some of the fact is, you look at the number of people who drive cars in the state of Alaska. We're going to make them pay for all the highway work or the marine highway. And I'm not trying to be facetious. The point I'm getting at, we could establish a precedent here that we'd be sorry about in some other areas. This would be the part that we're worrying the most about trying to taxes will match the income. But then we could get off the licensing. I would have a little difficulty there. We may be establishing a precedent if we did that. I think we would certainly have to take a little look at it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond to that, I'm not suggesting that these license fees cover the cost of the services provided by social workers, but it would be equivalent to what you're saying is the cost of issuing driver's licenses should be covered by the cost of driver's licenses. If we issue a driver's license once every 5 years, the cost is about $5 or so. Nobody should have to subsidize that. I mean, that $5 should cover the cost of issuing the plastic card.
Let me tell you my position. As the author of this bill, the legislature explicitly wants to go to that kind of philosophy, and we should do so for all boards and commissions. That's my point.
I'm aware.
I'd love to have the social workers be the first test case for a self-sustaining board or commission. I think your constructive suggestion. Second board that's left, so you can split that cost.
I anticipate that.
See, I think that's exactly right, but I don't know that. I would be using the crystal ball to say there'll be two or three other boards that's left. And I'm looking at the function of this bill here, and this is what I'm going to need to make this. In the same way, on page two, when we use the wording, the board may hold a special meeting at the call of the chairman or a majority of board members. Say we use the board meetings $1,200, the state has meeting rooms that are free. I mean, they can meet here in this room like we're having sessions with responsible maintenance.
Sir, we try our best to use meeting rooms that's free, but right now we're having to use Centennial Hall for meeting purposes. Even the Bill Gray Center is not available for the meetings. On February 22nd and 23rd, we have the medical board or the nursing and the pharmacy board meeting. To competition, believe me, we do try. I mean, in fact, we have to go out 30 days in advance of the meeting, still paying meeting rooms so they can be published in the newspapers.
Mr. Chairman, I have a suggestion.
Yes,
in one of my other capacities, I'm the chairman of the Congress Subcommittee, where we deal with boards that are with the creditors' operation, and maybe I will simply hold my. The issue I raised on the fee schedule and on the fiscal note to Ms. Gets for Finance. In the meantime, her and my staff can pursue it further. If you'd like to go to Gets for Finance.
That's an observation. Sorry, okay. I would propose that if the, whatever the group is, the being licensed, if they had to pick up the cost versus the state just picking it up, I would assume that they would make sure that these costs were in line where they should be. You subsidize it. Why not
would support regulation of licensing of social workers on federal and consumer protection issue. And then I quickly explained to you how I feel like Jason's mom feeling that there was a need for licensing of social workers. There are presently now 32 states that regulate professional social work. I graduated from a credited school of social work and chose social work as my profession. When I first started my private practice in Anchorage, I placed a small ad on Anchorage Avenue, which announced the opening of my practice. It was a one-day ad. It mentioned the word psychotherapy and consultative services. I was trained as a psychotherapist and graduated from psychiatric school of social work and registered at the Clinical Society of Social Workers. Approximately 4 days after the ad appeared in the Anchorage paper, I received a phone call from occupational licensing, and they demanded to see me immediately. They would not explain to me why over the phone. At which point I asked them to come on down to my office, and I was handed a legal document with the title Cease and Desist on the top of it. I'm not a lawyer, and I did not understand the cease and desist issue. That luckily I had a friend who was an attorney in town who explained to me that the use of the word psychotherapy was really the issue involved, and that I was not allowed by Alaska state statutes that were presently in place to use that term to describe my profession. Anyway, basically that law has been changed, or the statutes have been changed, and psychologists have now written into their amended down law to read that clinical social workers are exempt from the statutes.
Which means nobody did that.
Yeah. But what really occurred during that period was I quickly realized there was no organization, no professional organization regulating my profession. There was no way to turn to get any legal opinion or backing of my First Amendment rights for freedom to truth in advertising services. So realizing that there was no professional board licensing function, I went on my way to get actively involved in this licensing effort of social workers. That propelled me into the present arena here. Basically, some of the things that concern me are issues involved with the professional status of social worker in our state. Presently, I mentioned before that anyone who calls on a social worker in the state, there's no regulation of that title at all. Presently, the bill, Senate bill, is something you've introduced in terms of commitment proceedings. We recognize four mental health professionals in our state: a licensed psychiatrist, a licensed clinical psychologist, and a licensed psychiatric nurse. And a master social worker, I believe, with 3 years' experience in the field of mental health. I believe that's quite a sanction to give a professional that's not regulated at all, and I'll take to be in a position where a non-regulated person is involuntarily committing me to a psychiatric facility without any regulation or recourse to treatment or control over that professional's abilities and educational requirements. I have a private practice now. While at the Anchorage Community Mental Health Center, I was very much made aware that services provided by myself were not reimbursed by third-party payments. Third-party payments being insured consumers that were not receiving benefits and services, at which point I realized that the Anchorage Community Mental Health Center was writing off quite a bit of services provided by their social work staff. And it was not an issue of title. It was an issue of third-party reimbursements. That I'm making that point because I feel that the issue of third-party payments is not just dealing with private practitioners. It's more dealing with the public arena. And presently, I believe the Mental Health Center may be being funded through state and federal funds when they should have received some third-party payments from insurance carriers. The amendments to the bill, what we have here, are similar to the bill we presented last session. The section that deals with the grandparenting clause was a direct result of a request by the University of Fairbanks, which at this point does not have, has a Bachelor's School of Social Work, but it's not accredited. Therefore, they've requested that we extend our grandparenting clause to include those presently attending the University of Fairbanks School of Social Work. It was an attempt on our part to do that with the knowledge that they will be accredited, hopefully, and they will be covered under this bill.
Do you know why they're not accredited?
Well, I'm not privy to that information. I knew they've made several attempts to be accredited. By the way, I've heard a lot of things at this table. One of the things I've heard is that we have a National Association of Social Work that will regulate our profession. That's not true. First of all, the National Association of Social Work is a totally voluntary organization. To be a social worker, you do not have to be a member of that organization. The only thing that they can do in a grievance procedure, even if you are a member, is to throw you out, which saves you some money in terms of membership fees. But that's all, and you don't get the newsletter. There's no regulation. by the National Association of Social Workers over the professional social worker, other than when they can be
members. Can I apply to be a member of Washington?
No, you can't. You have to graduate from credit school social worker to be a member. On the other hand, still, you do not have to be a member of the license of the social worker.
Well, just hypothetically, so that the record's clear on this, what would be wrong about Mr. Traeger's idea that he's on a license in Alaska, you bring him your little wallet card that says member of the National Association of Social Workers, and you get a license for him?
Well, number one, that wouldn't indicate what my expertise is. First of all, we got to consider that a consumer going to a social worker that identifies a social worker with various social worker components. And number two is, even if I presented that card that a member of the National Association and they somehow licensed me as a social worker, the consumer still is protected. There's no grievance procedure, no regulation from the state. And once again, the National Association is a voluntary membership.
And there's no they don't conduct hearings on an individual ethics or something like that.
Only in terms of a particular matter of the National Association, not in terms of sanctioning the title of social worker.
They could notify Mr. Traeger that Mr. Jones's car is no longer valid because we found out that it gets X, Y, or Z, which is contrary to the
government. That's possible. The truth of the matter is, though, I believe within the last 15 years, there's only been two social workers that have been thrown out of the ASW because of grievances. It's not an agency, it's not an association that has its purpose as a grievance or regulatory body. It's a professional organization that people choose voluntarily to join and to accept their code of ethics. That's about it.
It's not professional. Mr. Chairman, I might just comment first that I think most likely Mr. Traeger would get notices that so and so is no longer a member for non payment of annual dues.
Very common.
I have a question. Is there any kind of a standard national professional examination? Most other professions do have their standard licensing exam.
Yes, in order to understand that, we have an exam that would lead to what's called an ACSW, Academy Certified Social Worker. Once again, it's voluntary. That is a written exam given to social workers after 2 years of experience. That does not cover the BSW, by the way. You must have an MSW, 2 years of experience.
American Academy.
Academy Certified Social Workers. And it's a written exam, at which point you're given the right to use the title ACSW. That's what you have to the title after. So the name. The next stepping stone to that, if you are considered a clinical social worker, is to enroll in the clinical registry, which many insurance companies use to find out if the person's eligible to be a provider. Once again, it's voluntary. There's not a grievance procedure at all involved. So there is a certification beyond the master's degree that the National Association does give. There is no regulation for that.
I'm just trying to establish with professional levels. When we see in the back after this bill that a professional examination serves fee for licensing examinations. Are we talking about this kind of licensing examination? Or would Alaska make up its own licensing examination under this bill?
Under this bill, Alaska is thinking somewhat that may be very close to Alaska. The reason for that is because they're not insisting, and as far as I know, no state insists that a social worker be a member of the National Association. So I am not a member of the National Association, therefore I wouldn't have taken any exams.
We can still take a California exam and administer it here, or something like that, or use the ACSW, A
insurance companies don't have any guidelines to assess what a person's education is or their experiences, and therefore most insurance companies will request a license number when applying for third-party claims. For example, if a consumer, a client of mine, wants to collect benefits, they are requested to get a license of the professional STO. Since I don't have a license, I can't give them. Now, I've made every attempt, and there are some ways you can jiggle that around a little bit. It's very weighty, really. There are some insurance companies which actually will not fund consumers' clients if they're not seeing a licensed professional. Basically, the license gives the insurance company the guidelines, the expertise, the education, whether or not this person has graduated from a credit school or not.
Okay. But from the standpoint of third-party payments, important thing is to be a licensed professional. Whether a license is obtained through a board, through a accredited without a board, through the Department of Transportation certifying that you're a licensed social worker, it doesn't matter. So long as you have a professional that licensed to practice that particular profession. Let me throw up your point. The issue basically is we need a board to need to go through this whole process, or can a certification process that establishes qualifications for a license and then results in the issuance of a license could have essentially take care of the third party payment. That's all other issues aside.
All other issues aside, we're just focusing on third party payments. I would guess no. I'm just guessing that. One of the issues that concerns me is reciprocity of skills. If we're not regulated, putting the way out of state insurance companies. For example, our present way insurance companies look at the state of Alaska is to use Washington State laws. And they request that there's a regulatory body to refer to. If there is a question, the insurance company may have about an education or experience or appropriateness. Plus, we need to know a little side mind. Champions Insurance and Senator Stevens is very instrumental in requesting that Champions Insurance, which serves the military, reimburse licensed clinical social workers for services provided. In lieu of a license, Champions Insurance have accepted the clinical registry. But Champions Insurance has a peer review process. In other words, they hire professional clinical social workers to review the cases. They do not put on peer review. Questions?
social worker's charges had to be reviewed by a licensed professional, either a physician or a licensed psychologist. Otherwise, and it would not pay for it. You remember that?
Yes, sir. I know what you're saying.
I suppose the narrow question then becomes, I guess this is up to each insurance company to make a judgment on, but Aetna could decide either that because the state of Alaska now licenses a social worker without a board for discipline purposes or sanctions, that it would respect the social worker's statement of charges, or it could make the other judgment that it didn't. It still wants to have the psychologist or medical review of the social worker's contract. I suppose it's a question of contract and negotiating group coverage. It's not, there's no legal compulsion. No.
Yes, sir. I was just saying, from the licensing clause, the only one that we have is the nursing home administrators that says they must be licensed by the board. And as far as a fair price reimbursement, I said, well, in the natural path situation, we have written letters saying the state does not currently license that. So we don't know that. And as a result of that, we don't know if the insurance company is going to work on
it. Tell me, how many. Social worker, that about 200 bucks out of here.
Take that number, I think it's perhaps big.
I mean, there's something that's 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or in the state.
Yeah.
So, clinically registered social worker, I'm assuming maybe 60. So, those under the Channels program, which is a third party payment for treatment of Defense Department dependents,
right?
Under that program, those 60 people could get their bills paid by a third party source.
Yeah, but if they're not convinced in social,
as I said. But if they're the other 150 or whatever, but not by chance.
Right, but they didn't. I'm not saying they should.
No, I understand it. Some should probably, and some shouldn't.
If there are, in lieu of the licenses, it's made very clearly in lieu of the license, Channels has accepted the ACSW clinical registry.
How many states now have licensure with the state board?
32 states.
Present. You know, Washington, Oregon, Illinois.
I have a list of all of them.
Yeah.
Is it a letter? Wow. I think in your packet there is a state comparison to it.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the other chairman about, in addition to these 32, are there any that issue licenses for government to help venture law?
There may be. I believe there, in that package, you have a description as a whole, and it may not list all 32, but there's an update, I believe, in your packet also, state comparisons, state board regulating social work. There are 31 listed for what's missing, and it'll show you what kind of regulatory bodies they have on this.
Thanks, okay.
Oregon has a state board for the social work. Washington has one. California. Board of Behavioral Science Examiners and Consumer Affairs. I don't know if that's consolidated for social workers.
Most of the employees have boards of social workers that are state boards, state boards, state boards. I'm
asking for that. States also have different attorneys general. I just took a little throwaway remark that most states also have elected attorneys general. But some of us don't favor that. Alaska happens to have come along after the experience with the elected attorney general. It's proof that very satisfactory, so our Constitution does not provide for.
Mr. Consigny, anything else?
Okay. Well, I just appreciate this opportunity here. Remember last year I was up here in Portland. I don't remind you what was going on, but there was a movement that may have to be changed for the day that we'll be able to stay, so I hope that's not going to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. just about with Aaron T. Price.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
to our Council on Aging in Fairbanks. Fairbanks to Community Mental Health Service. Community Crisis. Courage House.
Insurance company.